I'd rather we give Jesus a round of applause. You know, that's a lot better. You know, tonight I want to speak and continue to speak on the protective clothing. As I do this, you know, sometimes I think we get hung up in stuff. Let's understand the point that God has given us protective clothing because He knows we're at war. He knows we're going to have a fight. He knows we're going to have a struggle. He knows that life is not going to be easy for us. So He's given us stuff to wear that will help us in the walk that we've got to walk in. He's told us that the thief is out to steal, to kill and destroy, but that He, Jesus, came that we might have life and have it to the full. He wants us to have life. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to walk in victory. And to do that, He's given us stuff to do. He's given us things that we're going to have. He knows that our mind is going to be attacked, so we need a helmet of salvation. He knows that our heart is going to be attacked. We need a breastplate of righteousness. He knows that our walk is going to be attacked, so we need to have a belt of truth. He knows that sometimes we're going to struggle in the direction and just being able to do the things that He wants us to do. So He gives us peace. He knows that there's going to be these little fiery darts that throw at us, so He's given us a shield. And He knows that we need a weapon called a sword to chop the enemy's head off, like David chopped Goliath's head off. And then He's given us that incredible language so that we can talk to Him direct and get answers. And so sometimes when I look at scriptures like this and when I look at subjects like this, I think that we need to understand that God knows our heart. You know, I look at 1 John 1:9, you know, if you sin, confess your sin before me and I'll forgive you. That to me tells me that God knows I'm going to sin. Even though sin has no dominion over me, God knows I'm going to sin. And so He's made a way out for me. What an incredible God. He hasn't just said, look, finished, done, whatever. He's given me a way out, even though we have a victory through Jesus. He knows that there's going to be times when I can't have peace with all men. When there's some people, some individuals that are going to cause me so much issue. So He says, where at all possible, live in peace. He knows that one of you could cause me offense. So if your brother offends you, go to him alone. He has this incredible ability in this word of His to tell us what to do when things don't go the way He planned them to go. Because He knows that we are human. He knows that we're but dust. In Psalm 103, verse 12 and 14, our frame is but just, He says. He knows that. He knows that we fall short of His glory. Yet, on the same token, He gives us, as we've heard already, a sacrament that enables us to come to judge ourselves that we might not be judged. And so when we talk about protective clothing, I don't want you just to think, ho-hum, ho-hum, here we go again. You know, I'm going to continually over this series repeat what God wants us to do with His clothing, because I hope that by the end of it, you'll understand it. Now, why am I so incredibly passionate about this? Because I did it. In 1975, when I went through Bible college, I had such stinking thinking. I had such screwed up ideas. I came from a Methodist church that taught nothing. Well, if they did, I didn't understand it. And so by the time I got to Bible college, it was all brand new for me. And what I was really learning in Bible college was not head knowledge, it was walk knowledge. God was teaching me how to walk in His word. And so every day when I got up, when I had a shower, when I washed my natural body, I saw my spiritual body being cleansed. I saw myself putting on spiritual clothing. And it works. It worked for me. If it worked for me, it can definitely work for you. I'm an overcomer because I learned to do some things habitually. And I want you to learn to do some things habitually. Johnny Ortiz, when he was here, right back at the start when he started coming out, he said he speaks to eight-year-olds. That's how he targets his messages. He says 1.8 times throughout a message, and hopefully he says about 80% of what he says will get through. Sometimes we make things so complicated, so difficult, we put the big words on things that we don't understand how simple God has made it for us. And so tonight again, spiritual clothing. Tonight again, putting on the clothing of God, putting on these things that God wants us to wear. Not only wants us to wear that we might live in victory, but wants us to wear because it marks us for Him. It's like having a brand. It's like having a cross around your neck, if that's not a fashion statement but a truth statement. It tells everybody who you are. It's like going to Bunnings and having your red shirt and your red hat. It's like going to Safeway and having your special green shirt. Yeah, whatever it is, they mark you in a uniform. The clothing that God gives us marks us as His. Not only does it help us walk the way He wants us to walk, but it marks us as His. So let's look at Ephesians 6 again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And finally, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You know, there's such an incredible amount of stuff in there. First session that we did, we talked about a lot of that. First point was be strong. Be strong, be strong, be strong. And we likened that back to Joshua 1:8. Second point was to put on the full armor of God. Everyone stand up, please. Okay, we're going to do this every time. Okay, now there's nobody here naked. I've looked and there's nobody here naked. So fortunately, you all came out with all your clothes on. That is a wonderful thing. Okay, we're going to put on our spiritual armor. Helmet of salvation. Everybody, do this. Come on. Look, if everyone does it, you won't look like an idiot. Well, I'm looking at you. You do. Okay, helmet of salvation covers your mind. It tells you that you're saved. The battleground of the enemy is your mind. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I do it this way, not as the Bible says. I do it this way because I believe that the helmet covers the mind, and the mind is the first place that the enemy will attack you. Because the battleground of the enemy, the second place is our heart, if he can get us. So we have the breastplate of righteousness. Then we have the belt of truth. Come on, everyone put their belts up. Pull your pants up. Okay, and the belt of truth helps us to walk, teaches us to walk, keeps us able to walk because our pants haven't fallen down. Because if your pants fall down, you can't walk. You will remember this. You will remember this, I can tell you now. Then you have the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Tap your feet. Come on. Okay, we're going to talk a lot about peace. Peace is an awesome thing. We're going to talk about peace later on. Then you have the shield of faith. Okay, everyone put... Now, right-handed people can do it the right hand. Left-handed people can do it the left hand. Whatever the case is, it doesn't matter as long as you got it up. Okay, get it right, ladies. Get it right, ladies. Well, it depends on whether you're right or left-handed, but it doesn't matter. We're not going to fight this one at the moment. By the way, the shield of faith, believe it or not, when it was in the Roman army, was made to interlock with the person next to you. So you had to have a team effort because your shield actually went in front of somebody else and locked with theirs. Okay, shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. Nick, give me a fiery dart. No, I didn't want you to throw it at me, Nick. tell me what a fiery dart is, Nick. Give me one. Quick, give me a fiery dart. Chris, tell me a fiery dart. Go on, anger. Come on, another fiery dart. Hate.
I had that jumper.
And I put my shield of faith up because I reject that. This is a good jumper. Fear, envy, jealousy, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, anything, anything that comes against you. Then the sword of the Spirit. Come on, do a Peter Morrow. You won't know Peter Morrow. Peter Morrow, sword of the Spirit. Go on, do that. That's the word of God. And he would always say, that's good preaching when you do that, okay? And then we pray in tongues. We pray in the Spirit. Right, you can take your seats. Well done. By the way, keep coming, and at the end, some of you will get a prize for the best way of putting on your whole armor. We've got to put on the full armor. You can't just put on some garments, okay? It's got to be the whole armor. The third point that we did is we know that our enemy, we knew or know who our enemy is. The Bible tells us here. But secondly, and that point, we actually learnt and talked about the victory being ours. And then finally, Scripture says, and having done all, stand. It says it three times, having done all, stand. Stand therefore and stand. Meaning that sometimes we have done everything that we know how and it doesn't seem to be working. But God just says, wait, just stand. Stand therefore with your whole armor of God. Just know that nothing can get you. And all you've just got to do is stand. And finally you will see the outworking of God's victory in your situation. And so we put on the helmet of salvation last week. Don't laugh. I have been looking for this for how long, Chris? About 4 years, 5 years? And today, Chris went out into the garage and had a girl's look instead of a boy's look, and she found it. This was my dad's motorbike helmet. It would not have protected his head, but certainly kept his ears warm. In fact, it's a World War II flying helmet. Okay. What did you say? It's very what? Pointy. Well, that's why you do that when you put your helmet of salvation on, because you've got to be pointy. Now, you can laugh again, but again, you are learning. Helmet of salvation protects our mind. We must know that we're saved. We must know that we are in God, number one. And then secondly, we must know the battle for our mind. Then we put on today the breastplate of righteousness. You know, I looked at all of this and thinking about what Juan Carlos said about preaching to 8-year-olds and trying to get it simple, I thought, righteousness. And, you know, I have a sermon on righteousness here and I will preach it. But we must know what it means. We've got to be able to say it very simply. To me, righteousness means standing in right standing with God, or being in right standing with God. I am in right standing with God. Put on righteousness. Now, we know and we'll learn that our righteousness is filthy rags. I can't put my righteousness on. My righteousness is sinful. My righteousness is filthy rags in God. And so God's not saying, put on your righteousness. He's saying, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on my righteousness. Because that's what we take on. We take on Christ's righteousness. We take on what Christ did. We put on the helmet of salvation. It's not our salvation in the sense that we won it. We put the helmet of salvation on because Christ won it for us. When he said that we can ask forgiveness and we'll be forgiven. That we can have eternal life. And so tonight we're going to learn how to put on Christ's righteousness. That we can walk around protected in our heart. You heard me say last week, the brain is the first place, the heart is the second. Out of the heart are the issues of life, the Bible says. It's out of the heart that we speak, the Bible says. The heart pumps blood. There's life in the blood. I find it very, very interesting that with all the technology and all of the medical science that we have, no one has been able to create artificial blood that keeps anybody alive. They can have a heart. You know, the first mobile heart I saw was on this great trolley, and you saw these people working around with it. Now it's a little pump pack that they have there, keeping people alive until they can have a heart transplant. But no doctor, no one has yet been able to produce blood that brings life. We have oil, synthetic oil that keeps a car engine going now, but not blood. Life is in the blood. If the enemy can't stop us up there, he's going to go to the heart where life is pumped around our being. Blood, purity, cleansing, cleansed by the blood. We had that in communion. The blood comes through the heart and is cleansed and purified and pushed out through the system again. It's reoxygenated, etc., etc., etc. You know all those things. So the enemy can't get up there. He's going to get there. He's going to tell you or me that we're not worthy. We're not good enough. We're sinful. Look at that, Nelson, you've done it again. You've fallen short of my glory. You're never going to learn. It's not worth it. You might as well just chuck it all in. That's like the people that get a whole lot of bills and they keep putting them in the drawer. They can't pay them, so they get them out of the drawer, they shred them. thinking that that's going to make all things right. The enemy, he wants to tell us that we are such foul sinners that we're never, ever, ever going to be worthy for God. To the point, what's the point? Chuck it in. Just walk away. And so put on the whole armor or the full armor so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, so stand then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. You know, I can imagine Paul looking at a Roman soldier, all the soldiers who were guarding him in prison as he was dictating this passage to the scribe that was with him. Might have been Timothy, might have been whatever, I don't know. But he sat in prison often and wrote out these letters. I can imagine his eye being drawn to the breastplate that was on the soldier. That breastplate was made of metal. It had leather straps. It protected the vital organs of this man's body. There was pliable strips of metal protecting the soldier from right under his armpit, right down to his waist, front and back, so that the spears, the darts, and all of the things that his enemy would throw at him would hopefully bounce off. The most vital organ that that breastplate covered was the soldier's heart. Paul knew from Scripture how important the heart of man is. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Imagine that. Think about that. Go back, please, Brick. Everything that you do flows from your heart. Where your heart is, there your life is. Where your heart is what your mouth speaks. Everything you do comes out of your heart. No wonder God wants us to protect our heart. No wonder God wants us to protect our heart with His righteousness. So Paul, in writing this passage, is telling us to put on the breastplate of righteousness so that the devil can't penetrate our hearts to turn us from God. If we have the breastplate of righteousness on, then Satan is going to have a harder time getting those thoughts and those things through. We already know from verse 12 that our struggle is not with flesh and blood. So we're not talking about a physical shield or a physical breastplate. We're talking about something spiritual, which again, as I said at the start, means that God knows that those spiritual things that are going to hit us are going to come in a way that we don't see them often. If Satan can take away our sense of righteousness by tricking or making us think that we're not good enough, then immediately our heart is going to be wounded. Our conscience is going to be stripped to the point that oftentimes, and unfortunately it's more often than not, people walk away from what God wants us to do. And I have seen so many people over my years in church walk away from church, walk away from fellowship because they don't think they match up. That's not how God sees us. That's how we see ourselves, because we haven't got the breastplate of righteousness on. If we can put on our breastplate of righteousness and see ourselves as God sees ourselves, then we can start to appropriate all the things that His Word has. So the breastplate of righteousness reminds us that we can stand before God in right standing. As I have my breastplate of righteousness on, if I have my helmet of salvation on, I can come before God. You know, Alan this morning said, how do you know, or do you know, that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? What would you say? You know, I would actually just say to God, your word says so. Because I know that God would understand that, because He's a God of His word. Your word says, if I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, then I am saved and I have the gift of eternal life. I don't have to make excuses. I don't have to try and make up all the reasons why I should get into heaven, because none of them work. The only one that works is because I have the free gift of eternal life because of what Jesus did. And so I have right standing right now to come into God's presence, as the Bible says, boldly, not because of my righteousness, which is filthy rags, but because I have His righteousness on. This is Jesus' jacket. That's why it's a XXX, because because he's a big God. Was Dale cocaine's? First Corinthians 1:30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness. He has become our righteousness. Romans 5:19, just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in him. We used to sing that song. It's so old that I don't think Andy would even know it. You don't? No, I didn't think so. I'm not going to sing it for you, Andy. But it was a good song. A bit jingle-ish, but a good song, because the words said what they are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in him. That's all I can remember. So how can I be righteous when I still sin, when I still fall short of God's standards? As I said last week with the helmet of salvation, if Satan can make us doubt our salvation, he's won. So it is with righteousness. If he can make me feel unworthy, he's won. Every time I look at myself, every time I look at my natural man, every time I look at the things I've done or do or going to do, I feel miserable. But when I recognize that because of Christ, I can come boldly into the presence. Because of Christ and what he's done, I have been made clean. I walk in victory. And so God has given us a garment called righteousness to put on, to protect our heart, to allow us to walk in freedom and victory, to allow us to feel good about ourselves. You know, we're told to put on the helmet of salvation. We're told to put on the breastplate of righteousness. There's always a Godward, and there's always a manward action. The Godward action has already been done. Jesus has died for us on the cross. There's nothing more to be done. Scripture says, once and for all, Christ died for us. He doesn't have to go back and do it again. He doesn't have to do a second take because it didn't work the first time. It worked. He set the captives free. He released the prisoners. We can walk in freedom. Our job is to act out what Christ has done. And by putting on the garment of righteousness, I am acting out what Christ has done for me. By putting on my helmet of salvation, I am actually saying I am saved. I am physically doing something, even though you might not see it. I'm putting on my spiritual helmet of salvation. I am acting out that I am saved. I am putting a manward action into what God has already done. It's because of the work of the cross that we are justified. You know, we hear words justified, propitiation, sanctification. Justified just literally means just as if I had died. Jesus died for me, just as if I had died. Righteousness, right standing before God. You know, it's one thing to say we believe in righteousness, but it's a very different matter when it comes to making righteousness a way of life. Paul says we must put on righteousness. It is only as we do this and start to walk in the righteousness of Christ that we're protected. I can't put this on, believe it or not, and then go and start walking and doing the things I shouldn't do. It just doesn't work with the garment. As soon as I knowingly, willingly put this on, then I'm knowingly, willingly saying that I am going to walk to the best of my ability in righteousness. Ephesians 4 says this, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted in deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, again, the battle of the mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Dave last year talked a lot about holiness. Holiness sometimes becomes a dirty word because it makes it as if you can't attain what Christ wants you to attain. But we can walk the highway of holiness, it says in the Bible. We can walk the path, the road of holiness, knowing that we'll never meet the standard, but because we have the garments, because we have been given the ability through Christ to do it, we can do our best. No one can say you're naturally righteous. Listen to Romans 3 here. As the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. And then we come to that scripture that we quote so often and know so well. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. Not really a positive scripture, is it? Not one that you would call an uplifting scripture. But the good news is that Jesus died on the cross so that we could become righteous, so that we could walk the walk that we're supposed to walk. 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I have the garment, the breastplate of righteousness on because of what Christ did for me. And now, because of what Christ did for me, I have the ability and the power to walk in righteousness. I have the ability and the power to walk the way Christ exampled for us. As I said at the start, as I've said a couple of times through, when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we're actually putting on Christ's breastplate. We are choosing to lay down self. We're choosing to live the way Jesus exampled for us. Paul says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord. Think of this guy. He was right up at the top as far as knowledge goes in Jewish tradition. He was right up at the top as far as all of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and all of those guys go. He was king. He was looked upon as so high. Intellect, knowledge, money, power, position, you name it, he had it all. And he says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ as my Lord. I don't want any of that anymore. Everything that I've lost is nothing compared to what I have gained in knowing Christ. I can consider them garbage, he says, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, because he was doing everything that the old law said, and he was good at it. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, we can only put on the breastplate of righteousness by faith. We can only put the helmet of salvation on by faith. By faith I am saved. By faith I accept my salvation. Don't laugh. This is serious. Helmet of salvation. So just as much as you put on salvation, just as much as you say, I know that I can walk to the top of that ladder and be with God because of what Jesus done, I know that I can put on righteousness today and I can stand in God's presence Not because of how good I am, but because of how much Christ loved me and what he did for me. When Satan comes to condemn me now and to say, Graham, what about your past? What about the things you've done? What about all those things? I say, hey, no good, bucko. I have Christ's righteousness on. I'm wearing his garment right now. And his garment covers my heart. And his garment puts me in right standing with God. In fact, wearing his garment strengthens me and allows me to walk the way he wants me to walk. It's an amazing thing when you put on Christ. It's very hard to do the things that you shouldn't do. I don't have to feel ashamed of the past. The good news is, no matter what I did, no matter what you did, because of the forgiveness that is ours through Jesus Christ, like we've taken at that sacrament of communion, we can now put on righteousness and be in right standing with God. We can begin all over again with a clean slate. And that's why I say, when you get up and you have a shower in the morning, putting on clean clothes is a good thing. But you can also put on the breastplate of righteousness again and have a clean start to the day. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we're saying, I want to live to the best I can a life that pleases God. Paul says it this way, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Bible tells us that righteousness has been imputed to us. Another big word. What it really means is it's been credited to us. It's ours already. It's our inheritance. Ephesians talks about our inheritance. It's all there. It's all in the bank. All you have to do is put it on. So we put on the breastplate of righteousness to cover our heart, so that when the enemy comes try and attack us and to tell us that we are not worthy to be Christians, we can say, that's true, I'm not worthy. My righteousness is as filthy rags, but I'm not wearing my righteousness. I'm wearing the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. And that breastplate of Christ's righteousness gives me right standing into the presence of God. And guess what? God wants us to come boldly into his presence. Let's close in prayer. Can we do that? Father, I pray that this message would be at the level where people are at. And that, Lord God, that you would use this message in your incredible way to touch each heart, to touch each life at their understanding. That we would walk out of this place tonight not only knowing that we're saved, not only knowing that we can say to God, yep, I can come in because of what Jesus did. Lord God, that we can boldly walk around knowing that we have nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of, because we're wearing Christ's righteousness, which he won for us at the cross. I know I'm not worthy in myself, but because I have you and because I'm wearing you, I am worthy. I thank you for that. I just pray that you would help us to understand it as we walk this week for you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you go to the red carpet and they say, what are you wearing? You could say, I'm wearing Jesus now if you want to, okay? Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you next week.